Let's open with hymn number 258. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed.
For redeeming to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord,
glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, good will toward men.
We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, who hast sent thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh, that he might overcome the devil and defend us poor sinners against the adversary, we give thanks unto thee for thy merciful help. And we beseech thee to attend us with thy grace in all temptations, to preserve us from carnal security, and by thy Holy Spirit to keep us in thy word and thy fear, that unto the end we may be delivered from the enemy and obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday in Lent is found in the 26th chapter of Jeremiah, the 1st through the 15th verse. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord, If you will listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants the prophets whom I sent to you both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the inhabitants of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, the 1st through the 9th verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Here ends the epistle lesson. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. The Gospel is found in the 11th chapter of Luke, the 14th through the 28th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casts out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? But because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out devils with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 268. Grace to you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 11th chapter of Luke, the 14th through the 28th verse. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was that when the demon had gone out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house fails. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Well, actually, almost counts for a lot more than that. Every year, we re-elect politicians that almost do what is right. We almost convict criminals of the crime they committed, but settle instead for a lesser charge and punishment. We almost do our job at work, or at least we do it halfway, and yet we still get promoted or at least retained. Truly, halfways, or mostly, governs about everything that we do. We almost obey all the laws except when we speed. We almost do our best to help those in need, except those times when we were too busy or pressed for time. And in truth, almost is all that we really can expect from the world, because if society or government were all or nothing and required everyone to do everything right all the time, then nothing would get done at all. Since the fall, nothing we do is completely just and completely righteous, entirely untainted by greed, or have no selfish motive driving it. By our very nature, almost is all we can hope for, at least in this life. Almost, however, is not the standard by which God judges man. There are no halfway measures in anything that God demands or does. This offends men greatly. They're frustrated at God's stubborn refusal to let men get by with their best. God demands perfection. He is intolerant. He insists his way is the only way. He will not do what we say or want. He won't compromise. He won't meet us halfway. As much as men are offended at this, it is this very part of God's nature that is man's only hope. Because just as God does not judge us halfway, so Jesus also is no halfway Savior. If he was, he would not be a Savior for us at all. There's a consequence for God to being all or nothing. which Jesus reveals in our lesson. If you are not entirely on the side of God, then you belong to the devil. Satan's kingdom is not divided against itself, ever. There's not a single angel or human in Satan's kingdom that is partly on God's side and partly on the devil's side, doing some of God's work and some of Satan's work. Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." If you are sitting on the fence and not yet one of Jesus' own, then make no mistake. According to Jesus, you have already chosen a side, and you are already doing the devil's work, scattering and destroying, however much you might trust in your goodness. In the world, there is indeed a difference among men, and even among devils. In our lesson, Jesus says that some evil spirits are even more wicked than others, and yet all of them are wicked, and all of them serve Satan. Just because the agents of the devil do not behave with an equal level of malice and violence doesn't mean that they're our friends. They are all part of Satan's kingdom, and they do his work. We also see this in men. Unbelievers are not all criminals. They do not exhibit hate and spite constantly. They can be very easy to get along with. They show kindness and compassion to one another. They make friends, and they give gifts. They dedicate their lives sometimes to doing good and working tirelessly to improve the conditions of all men. And yet, despite of this, they're still lost, and they belong to the devil. All the good that they have done is not remembered at all, because it cannot change their nature, which is still evil. Men like to believe that there is some neutral ground to be found between Christ and Satan. That is why almost every movie our culture has produced which deals with the afterlife depicts death as a state where one goes either straight to heaven, straight to hell, or spends a whole bunch of time in some in-between condition where one wanders the earth or the spiritual plane, settling old business. It's convenient to believe that there's such a neutral place because then you can imagine that you don't have to be completely perfect, and that after death there's always going to be time to set things right. If you're good enough, you may not get to heaven right away, but at least you'll get there eventually. But notice how the Catholic doctrine of purgatory is much the same thing. Not good enough for heaven, not bad enough for hell, and a chance to set things right. This is something men naturally believe. Yet Jesus offers no second chance, nor do any of the scriptures. God declares it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9. If you read all of Jesus' parables, you do not see three groups of people, but only two. There are those who enjoy the feast and are part of the wedding party, and there are those who are cast into outer darkness. There is a good tree that bears fruit, or there is a bad tree that does not, and it is cut down and separated out. There are tares and wheat. There are sheep and goats. There are those on the right hand and those on the left. Nowhere does Jesus leave room for anyone to be in the middle. The eternal destiny of men is either heaven or it is hell. There is no in between. Why then do so many people believe that you can have it both ways? It is because they do not hear the word of God and believe it, that is, keep it. Since so many people insist that God thinks like men, it's instructive to search the scriptures to see indeed if we find a God who's satisfied with half measures, or rather if he demands perfection in all things, not only in what men say and do, but in how they think and feel in their hearts. Is God really that intolerant that he condemns even the smallest sin and damns men so that they're not mostly dead, but completely dead in their trespasses and sins? You know how your friends speak of God, maybe some of your family also. Maybe you've thought this way yourself. God only cares about the big sins. And if you don't actually think it, somewhere we've all done this in our head, done a calculation about the sins that we have committed as if some are worse than others in God's eyes. He only cares about things like adultery and murder and theft. But what does God say? Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. God says that sin is like the deadliest poison. Even the smallest part can kill you. You can keep every part of the law of God except for one point. Even if that point is as small as losing your temper just once when you were a child. One day, a young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "Well, you know the commandments. Don't kill. Don't steal. Honor your parents. Don't commit fraud. Don't commit adultery." And the man answered, "I've kept all these things from my youth." He was sincere because he did not understand what God truly meant by perfection in keeping the law. And of course, he had broken all the commandments. And yet Jesus does not belabor the point. He does not comfort the man and say, "Well, you're mostly ready for heaven." Instead, he answers, "There's one thing you lack. Sell your possessions, give your money to the poor, and follow me. Then you will have treasure in heaven." But he couldn't do that. You see, he coveted his own things. Because God condemns not only eternal sins, but internal ones as well, like greed and lust and covetousness. Therefore, God declares in Ezekiel, "When I say to the righteous that he will surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die." When Luther was struggling with his sins and finding no help or comfort, all of the most trustworthy theologians in his day said that if you do your best, God will save you and count it as enough. But this was of no help, because Luther was brutally honest with himself, and he always found one more point to the law that he failed to keep when he could have. He never did his best. So far was he from doing God's best. Today, this idea is the most common understanding of God's law that there is. People usually phrase it more like this, however: "I know I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person. I think that's good enough to go to heaven." But it's the same thing in the end. Close enough is good enough, right? But God responds that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus himself declares, "You shall be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." It doesn't matter how good your deeds are. Rather, you should ask yourself, "Have I been as perfect as God himself?" Because that is the only standard that matters. But what of a gracious and merciful God? Doesn't he forgive sins? Why then do we have to worry about sin at all? I believe in God. Isn't that enough? It is true that God is merciful and forgives sins. But he does not do so except through Jesus. And that forgiveness is not applied to any man except through faith. When it comes to salvation, you cannot have it multiple ways. If anyone wants to find a gracious God, he can only do so through Christ. Why is this? Because Jesus is the only way. Because he is the only one who has gone all the way to save us. He's the only complete and perfect Savior. Jesus declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God did not provide some halfway measure when he sent his Son to save us. He completely overthrew the power of darkness and all sin and death. If he had done anything less, if he left one thing undone, no one could have been saved. If Jesus had put away only part of our sin, then all men would still be dead in their trespasses and sins, because all the good that men do cannot make up for their bad. And then everything that Jesus endured would have been wasted. That one little point could still condemn us. For Christ's sacrifice to be complete, he must go all the way and atone for all.
Jesus had to put away all sin for all time. He entered once into the holy place and made the only sacrifice that can pay for all sin. Hebrews says, but now once at the end of the ages he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that is true not just for those who believe on him, but for the entire human race. So that just as no one can make an excuse and say, God didn't mean me when he said thou shalt, so also no one can have any reason to think that Jesus did not die for me. Romans 5 tells us, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. Even so, through one man's righteous act and sacrifice, the free gift came to all men. This is the nature of the gospel. It doesn't save us halfway. And this is wonderful news. Jesus has completely overthrown the power of the devil. He does not just cast Satan out and then abandon us and leave us on our own to fend him off. He does not leave us defenseless to allow the devil to come and overtake us once again, bringing in seven more spirits more wicked than the one who left. Jesus has gone all the way. Where he saves, he enters in. And he lives within the heart with the Father and the Holy Spirit. There is no place anymore for the devil to dwell. His power is broken, and we are set free. Satan is no longer our master, and sin no longer reigns over us. There is no room then for doubt. There is no reason to fear. Christ Jesus has done all. He has taken away all your sin. He has endured all of God's wrath on your behalf. He has opened wide the door of heaven, and he has made you completely clean and a true child of God. This he declares to you in his word. Hear it. God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, most holy, who dwells in the heavens, without whom there is no help, be thou the guardian and defender of all who in their desolation or affliction seek thy mercy. We thank thee for the love of Jesus, and that in his compassion and grace he freely gave himself as payment for our sins, yielding up his perfect life as an offering for our redemption and salvation. With grateful hearts we thank thee for the willing spirit in which he gave himself as thy suffering servant, fulfilling all the demands of thy holy law, and paying all the penalties which our sins had earned us. Grant us, thy Holy Spirit, that we may have inheritance in thine eternal kingdom. Grant that as children of the heavenly light we may earnestly repent of our sins, forsake darkness and error, and follow righteousness and truth. Fill our souls with love of thy word and true holiness. Let thy hand, O Lord, rest upon thy church to prosper and defend it. Give success to the ministers of thy word who proclaim the glorious gospel of salvation, and in Christ's name minister to the souls and bodies of men. Stretch forth thy mighty arm to rule and direct our government, and give wisdom and integrity to all who bear the sword, that our nation may know peace, and that righteousness and justice may everywhere prevail. Put down all oppressors, tyrants, and godless governments throughout the world, and turn the hearts of all enemies of thy truth to the acceptance of thy word. For all who are in any want of body or soul, for all of our loved ones who are in distant places, for all who have strayed from thy truth, for all who are in temptation, for all who are suffering sickness and pain, for all who mourn, we pray, pour down thy blessings upon them according to their need. Hear their prayer, comfort them with thy presence. Keep them and all thy church faithful unto death. We pray, O Father, for these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We sing hymn number 590.
Holy and righteous God,
terror of the fiery pit of hell. Have mercy, O Lord. In the midst of utter woe, when our sins oppress us, where shall we for refuge go? Where for grace to bless us? Plead, Lord Jesus, only thy precious blood was shed to win full atonement for our sin. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God. Lord, preserve and keep us in the peace that faith can give. Have mercy, O
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, Thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, Thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, Thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us Thy peace.
Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, how lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 158.
Glad reply.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen.
Hardware wasn't too distracting. You won't notice it at all before long. It's just kind of right there. But
so the key is, does it do the job?